Well, we're back into our teaching tonight on creation, redemption, judgment, and perfection. And the last couple of times that we met together, we talked about really concerning the earth and what sin has done to the earth, and the earth concerning how the earth responds, God's creation responds to mankind living in sin. We found out it don't go well. We looked at the fact where God dealt with Israel and talking about the land vomiting you out. And we can see we made mention concerning of Noah and the flood of what happened with man and sin, the things that took place. And there's some things that we want to look at tonight, because I just want to go over some stuff, because of condition today as we look at things going on. Is one of the things that I've noticed back when I first got born again, after a few years, was in the mid, around the mid-80s, God started dealing with me some things about the end times. When I first got born again, there was a lot was talked about. People talked about being what the end times were. There was, you'd have teachers on TV and stuff were talking about it and things. And just from reading some scriptures generally, they would use scriptures and say certain things. And I would go to the Bible and I would look at it in the Bible and I'd say, well, if what they're saying that scripture's right, then the rest of the stuff that's in that those verses is all wrong. And the Bible would be talking about the tribulation, and they would pull a, like people have done it all the years. I can remember as a kid in church, and you know, they'd say Jesus is coming like the lightning from the east to the west, and all this. They make those statements. Well, those statements, that scripture is talking about the end of the tribulation period. And then they say, well, the church ain't going through tribulation. Well, then how could Jesus be coming for us like lightning from east to the west? And it was talking about Jesus, because Jesus is going to land where he's coming and sitting down on earth when he comes at the end of the tribulation is on the Mount of Olives, which is east the side of Jerusalem. And that's what he's going to be, coming from the east heading west. That's what he's going to be. And he's going to come and sit on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives is going to split and all this. But anyhow, people use scriptures and he just threw them out there. So one day I said to the Lord, after listening, because time and time again people use scriptures, and I think, well, how can they use these scriptures? I didn't know much about the end times. But I knew loads of scriptures being used out of context. And people are saying things. Then I realized that people were just repeating what other people said. And people weren't really studying the Bible. So I said this to the Lord. I said, Lord, I ain't going to listen to anybody teach on end times anymore. I'm fed up with it. I don't want to hear nothing about it. I said, it's so confusing. They got it so messed up. And so I said that. And it went on a period of time, and I just never paid any attention. If somebody said, you know, so-and-so is teaching, you ought to hear so-and-so, and I'd say, nah, they get the latest book on the end times. I'd say, don't even give it to me. It's going to be in the garbage can. I ain't reading the thing. I don't want nothing to do with it. I'm tired of hearing people talk about it, you know. And at that time, you know, there was loads of books out. I mean, there's books out that were this thick, and 99% of it was nothing scriptural, and it was what people thought was going to happen. You know, they'd say, you know, the Bible says this, and so it's probably going to be this. This is what's going to, and they would explain natural events and that we're going to. Well, it's turned out over the years that those books have been so wrong. They haven't even been close to the ballpark. But people were buying and eating it up. So anyhow, over the time period, God spoke to me a couple of times about the end times. The Lord spoke to me directly, told me to go read certain things. And I went and sat down and read them, and just read them, and they made sense to me, you know. But I never really pushed a subject about it and that stuff. I just would go along and let God reveal things to me. And one of the things the Lord started talking to me about is about how the scriptures and events of things run. It's like whatever happened in the past and how things happened in the past, you're going to find out they're going to happen in the future too. So sin will cause certain things to happen. So that you're not going to find a bunch of new different kinds of things. You're going to find the same things. And I started reading through the Bible. As one thing, as Randall Greer teaches a lot and says about this, you find the patterns of the Bible, and you find a pattern that God does, and you'll find that pattern all through the Bible. You'll find that things. And this is what it is. Most people don't do it. They're always, you know, trying to come up with something new. Well, the whole thing, if God changes not, then the patterns are going to stay the same. And so when you can find the pattern all through the Bible, whether from Old Testament through the New Testament, well, you can know your doctrine's pretty good. you're hitting the right things. So you always want to do that. You always want to find out, because We even have the things we can call in the New Testament. We find the shadows and the patterns of them in the Old Testament that revealed what was coming in the New Testament. But the pattern never changed. It was the same. We just see its fulfillment in Christ Jesus. But so it verifies itself. Now think about this. The disciples never preached from a New Testament. They didn't have one. They became the New Testament. They preached Christ from the Old Testament. You know, most Christians don't even know Christ in the New Testament, much less Christ in the Old Testament. They got it all messed up. And so, but anyhow, so the Lord started dealing with me. But one thing is I found out is how things work, things that were said. And so one of the things that God led me over to, I had gotten into stuff. And back in the 1980s, I began to look at some things. And I have some statistical stuff today of different things about what's going on with the earth. We have, you know, today we talk about the things of global warming and all this kind of stuff. We can, you know, that's become more of a political issue than it is. And it's just something that people can fight over. But understand this, our earth and what's going on as we've looked in Scripture and talk about, things are falling apart. There's number one. The planet cannot be saved as long as man lives and gets more and more sinful. And I just want you to understand this. It ain't going to improve. I'm not being pessimistic. I'm being Bible scripturally accurate. It's going to get worse. We can read scriptures and it's going to get worse. Now, the church, that doesn't mean we have to get run over by the truck. We need to understand that concerning us. We're in the earth. We have a covenant with God. And this is what you mean. This is why I spend little time focusing on the problems in the world, because they ain't going away. But if we focus on God and learn to walk with Him, we'll be all right. Don't worry about it. He's going to take care of us. He's obligated to, because if He doesn't, He's a liar and He's never done that. He's never done it. So we have a security that we have. But the world itself and the direction of the world and the world system is falling apart, and it's going to get worse. The world system is not going, there's not going to be an improvement in it. So one of the things the Lord dealt with me about these things, and it's like, you know, where are the problems? There's problems today, all things going on. What is the effect of sin on the earth? So one of the things that back in the 80s, I began to look at things because Jesus talked about earthquakes going on and all this kind of stuff. I remember back in the 80s, it was about the mid-80s, one time I sat down and I started going through some things. At that time, we didn't have like computers and stuff like we got today for looking and researching. But I found some stuff, and I found out that they made this statement that major earthquakes in the earth, from the time that they began, they could look into history and any things that were recorded. They look at different things. Like, we can go back to biblical times. I mean, the Bible even talks about in Uzziah's reign, there was an earthquake in Jerusalem, big earthquake. But through history, things were recorded. Well, they found this out, that major earthquakes that they have from recordings of history on up to 1960, major ones, not the, there's lots of smaller stuff, major ones. Up to 1960, the amount that they had from 1960 to 1980, there were something like 10 times more major earthquakes than there were in the entire recorded period before that. So it sort of lets you know we're there's things happening. There's things going on. There's stuff going on in the earth. Just an interest in that. Concerning earthquakes themselves, because one of the things that Jesus did talk about that, which we'll read later on, talked about earthquakes, the beginning of earth pains. I just want to read you some things about earthquakes, just to sort of give you an idea that they have. Now, dealing with earthquakes, here in this is looking from worldwide, looking what's going on in the entire, in the whole earth. I've got another paper here I want to... has some things in here, some documentation. Looking at earthquakes. Now, these are earthquakes in range. Now, there's more earthquakes than takes place here. There are numbers of earthquakes below, would be below the 4 on the Richter scale. Now, there's sometimes, I mean, they're literally, sometimes they will read thousands and thousands through an area. You know, I think I forget how many they said took place in Yellowstone. They were below that. But, I mean, every day there was like 2,000 or 3,000 were going on. These are just from 0.4 to 0.99. Now, in 2007, there was 14,350 of them. 2008, there was 14,240. And we had a slow year in 2009 with 8,862. It runs on up through like at 2011, there was 15,798. 2010 had a year with 12,300. Now, they had the major big earthquake down in Chile then, that year. But in that year, and it's amazing that they don't talk about that, but all told worldwide during 2010, like 320,000 people died worldwide in earthquakes, 2010. I mean, we get two people killed in a car wreck in the United States, though. The news media will treat it like, you know, it's a disaster. I mean, 320,000 people died worldwide, and media says nothing. That's why I was like, I don't care who you watch, you Fox News. It's a bunch of junk. They don't tell you what the real important things are. The things that are happening. But like in 2015, there was 14,000, was 15. There was 14,500 in 16 and 12,817. 18 was a big year, but they don't have recorded the exact amounts of what they were. Now listen to this. It is estimated that there are 500,000 detectable earthquakes in the world each year. 500,000. That's a few. The world's shaking. The world's doing stuff. Out of that, now most of those can't be felt, but 100,000 every year are felt. 100,000 are felt every year. And I read the Bible, and in the Bible, Book of Revelation, it's getting worse, folks. It's going to be worse. It's going to get worse. Since July 4th, now this was a couple days ago, this was put out. So this doesn't count up to today. In California, there was 3,000 recorded earthquakes in California since July 4th. Just a few days ago. 3,000. They just reported a thing I saw. It was online. They just reported that seismologists and other, you know, these scientists, they're really surprised that California has not had a really big earthquake. They said they are definitely due for one, a really big one. So things are happening and going on. You know, we could look down through, like I have from 1970 on down through the deaths and stuff and things on earthquakes. Back in 1976, there were 697,309 people killed worldwide in earthquakes. There's a lot of stuff going on. And I mean, dear Lord, I mean, it's just, you look at the statistics on things. But earthquakes, and especially big ones, one of the things that is dealing with earthquakes and what's happening, one of the things, I have some articles here, and I'm not going to go through and read them all, but when he had the big earthquake, the 9 in Japan, actually moved the earth on its axis. It actually moved it. And actually, what they talk about is that what one earthquake in that area was so powerful that it did actually, speeded the earth up a few milliseconds, which was really an important thing because the earth is actually naturally slowing down. So it actually speeded the earth up. One of the things that is, they don't make a big deal. Today we don't hear any of these things really matter, but it's the slight shifts in our axis. Now, you can't shift the earth's axis without changing things. Stuff's going on. And these things aren't reported to people. The stuff that's really the problem, you know, we're talking about global warming, and that is the least of things that are major things that are happening because of these earthquakes and all this stuff going on. We're dealing with a problem that they don't talk about. I remember years ago I read about this, and they used to make fun of these people that believed in a polar shift, that we could end up having a polar shift where the North Pole would end up at the South Pole. That what happens is this molten iron core that's in our earth would actually flip and it would switch. And they used to make fun of these guys, these scientists, who say this could very well happen. And I have a thing here. What we're doing is there's things going on today because we have shifts, right now in our magnetic core. Now, it said it's moving about 30 miles a year. Now, this is phenomenal, 30 miles a year. And it didn't move much between 1900 and 1980. But it's accelerated over the past 40 years. In fact, it's been jumping. And we need to understand that what this does is like the military just had, because every so many years they would have them readjust every, the military would get them to find out, you know, what's going on with it. And so everything's lined up because of all of our military GPS and all this kind of stuff and things running. Understand how important this is, because whether people really know or not, just a few years ago, planes were taking off to go to land down in Florida and were hundreds of miles off from the airports. If we get a major shift while they're out flying in the air, this could be a terrible, awful thing, because the electronics on the plane are going to fly according to gravity, and I'm going to tell you, you can have major problems. They're not talking about, they don't talk about any of those things, and we have these things that are going on. And so one of the things that the scientists said that we could have it actually where now it's moving, they say, well, 30 miles, that doesn't matter. Well, that's a huge shift each year, and it's increasing, and that's an enormous shift. Airports are having to change their runways. Airport runways, like if you used to have like a runway that has a number 9. If you ever check airports, runways are never like 1, 2, 3, and 4. They're not listed that way. They're listed by the number. Like if it has number 70, that means 70 degrees. So it's number 7. So you have number 3, that's 30 degrees. So that's the alignment on it from magnetic north. Down in Florida, they've been changing all the airport runways. Why? Because if anything happens, the pilot has to know where he has to do anything manually. He's going to have to know where he can land that plane. If that runway marking's wrong, he's looking to find a runway, and it ain't going to be there. And there's actually the belief, which I really find this absolutely hilarious, because these guys are saying, oh, at this rate, it'll take so long before it changes. But the whole point of this is that this projection of really notable scientists is the fact that it could one day just do a flip immediately. And if it did... Now, I really find this out hilarious, because the guys that don't believe it would happen like that, this is what they said. The last flip in our... now, these scientists said this. The last flip that took place was 10,000 years ago. But they said then man wasn't on the earth then. So they didn't know how it was going to turn out. Well, how would they know if it flipped if man wasn't the earth? It also causes a whole lot of problems with wildlife, because wildlife... flies, when they migrate, is by magnetic north. They said this is a huge... A lot of sea creatures do that, the migrations of whales and all that. This is one of the things that they don't tell you. They say, man's killing off a lot of these. No, they're not. They're going to breeding grounds that they ain't there. They're at the wrong place. They're telling us all kind of things, and they're not true. You say, how, you know, what happens with these whales and all that stuff, and you know this and the end? What do they beach themselves for, and what do they see? People are really strange. They have no idea about what's going on. People don't pay any attention. So there's a lot of things happening and going off. It's part of the Earth vomiting out man. Also, it's very interesting. I found this out doing a little bit of research on some things about. What's the condition of our Earth today? Is it, things getting better? Well, the Earth's magnetic field is not only shifting, it's weakening. 5% every 10 years. 5%. Just think, 5% every 10 years. I don't know these scientists. I don't know where they went to school, but maybe you could train a few of them, because they can't figure out math. They said at 5% a year, it'd take 500 years before it would be gone. Last I figured it was 200. It was 5% a year. I thought, these are scientists. We have such idiots out here today. I mean, they just ain't got a clue. But right now, it's at 5%. Well, it ain't going to slow down. It ain't going to get. It'll end up going, but it keeps weakening, and that is hugely disastrous. Our magnetic field is what keeps us safe from radiation and things, solar radiation. And I mean, that's huge. If we are losing 5% a year, And you think of the next 20 years, I mean, you're just going to see more and more cases of, you know, all kinds from cancers to you name it. It is the effect it will have on life and animal life and everything like that. That kind of stuff goes. I mean, you can't. Our magnetic field is a huge thing. You just can't have that messed around with. And its effect is, number one, our magnetism that on this planet that we walk and live in, our bodies run according to it. When people go to space and go up to the space station, they come back. They have major changes and they aren't really good. Their bone densities and that drop and all kinds of things because of the weightlessness and things like that. So it has huge effects on people's health. See, you want to live right. Because if you don't live right, this planet's dying. It ain't going to last forever. It's not going to. And man is killing it fast. And sin's doing it. Sin is the problem. But I want to share those things because when we look at the things that go on in dealing with stuff, is understanding the place that we live in, what's happening to this place. The answer to these things is walking and living right, following God's plans and purposes. This is why it's important for Christians to get over and live in their covenant. Because I tell you what, if they're following for health just like the world does and everything else, they're going to have exactly what the world gets. It's going to be the same thing. That's why it's so important. That's why God's stressing these things so much. Because it's so important. We walk by faith. Because things are going wrong. We need to have more than what natural can take care of you. Because the natural is not doing a very good job at it. And it's not going to as long as men live in sin. So we are in a definite decline, and it's declining fast, and it's going to decline faster and faster, especially when the church leaves. When we look at the tribulation period, which is the period of the Great Tribulation, deals with a 3.5-year period, which the destruction on the earth is going to be phenomenal, the things that are going to take place on the earth during that time period. But this planet we live on is going to be gone. It's going to be there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, and we'll talk about that when we deal in the areas of perfection, what God is setting into perfection to do. But while we're living here and what's going on, when Satan, Book of Revelation talks about it, when he is running really fully in the earth during the Great Tribulation period, and he's going to be dominating people, what is called the saints at that time, it's not the church, but there's people who aren't going to follow him. The majority are. The majority are going to follow him. They're going to take the mark of the beast. The most of them are. And they're going to take the mark of the beast. But the ones that don't, loads of them are going to be put to death and things for not following him. And he deals with all the things with the Antichrist. But what's going to take place in the earth, we really see things fall apart quickly. We hear all that tells about all the thing, the destruction of the earth. Things will turn around for a while during the millennial reign of Christ, but when Satan's released, and we'll go on and look at those things, Satan's released for a short period of time after the 1,000 years, and the majority of the people in the earth who have just lived with the Messiah. Now, he's God in the flesh. He's going to be ruling and reigning. and Satan's going to be released. The majority of the people in the earth are going to follow him and going to end up coming against the Jews and Israel. Again, in the same manner they've been doing today. It's phenomenal. It's just incredible. But mankind is easily deceived. I mean, they're easily deceived. I just imagine, I mean, in a 1,000-year period of what has gone on, even while, you know, we're going to find out, because even when Christ is in the earth, you're going to have people that are getting into rebellion. Just because Satan leaves don't mean that everybody's going to do what's right. You know? You're still going to have people going to be humans and have flesh. They're going to be walking around here in this earth. And that's why you want to go when Jesus comes. You want to be around and all that nonsense. Anyhow, so, but one of the things is dealing with the end times. This is something that Jesus said, familiar thing that you've heard read before and you've read it yourself probably. But in Luke, the 17th chapter, and this was Jesus himself talking. Jesus says in verse 26 of the 17th chapter of Luke, Jesus says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man." So just in the same way it was in Noah's day, Now, I want you to think about Noah's day. There definitely was a remnant living right. It was a small remnant. Jesus said it's going to be the same way. You know, people don't realize this, is if they don't read the Bible, but the majority of the Jews are not going to accept Jesus as the Messiah, even during the millennial reign, even during the Great Tribulation. There's going to be a remnant. The Bible talks about a remnant that's going to be spared. There's going to be a remnant who are going to accept Jesus as the Messiah, but the majority are not. It's quite phenomenal. But it says it's going to be the same way. Now, it says what they do, they ate, they drank, they married, they were giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Aren't people living like that today? Like it's just going to go on and on and on, all this craziness going on and everything. It says, likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they brought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so, it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, this is talking not Jesus coming for the church. This is about Jesus' second advent. This is when Jesus comes and sets his kingdom up on the earth. That's the end of the tribulation period where he destroys all of his enemies and that whole thing. He goes in, he sits in the temple as takes his rightful place of the heir of David. On the throne of David, and which starts the millennial reign. This is one thing about it. Even from the old, even if you look into the Old Testament, talks about Ezekiel spoke about the things and that stuff, the cleanup after those days, because it talks about the things of the cleanup and all that. That's going to for years. It says I think it's 7 years. Israel is going to be using the burning, it says, the weapons of war. So whatever they do or stuff that's going to be used there is going to be energy for them and that stuff for 7 years. So 7 years, they're going to be just running off of things. It talks about how many years they're going to hire people just to bury dead bodies, and it's going to be for years, and they're going to go around, mark where bodies were on the places of battlefields and stuff, and mark them, and they're going to people, and they're going to have a huge, enormous area in Israel where they're going to bury the dead. I mean, enormous area. The Bible talks about, tells about. So it isn't, when the millennial reign of Christ comes, Jesus ain't going to snap his finger and clean the place up. It ain't going to happen. Man's going to clean his mess up. Boy, that's sure different than people. He ain't very loving. If he was loving, he'd snap his fingers and we wouldn't have to do all this. He ain't going to do it. He's going to make them clean up their mess. Maybe that's why some of them are going to be mad later on. Oh, my. But we can see how things turn out to be. But one of the things that we see concerning the earth itself, when Noah's flood took place, everything changed on the earth. The earth was no longer the same itself anymore. The earth now is running. It has rain and all that stuff. Never had before and things. Sin robbed the earth. Sin always robs. Sin always steals. It always takes away. Sin never goes unpayable. You will always pay sin. You'll pay it. One way or the other, you're going to pay it. And this is what people need. We have this today in the church world. Grace means you go ahead and sin and you say, I'm sorry, and it goes away. I know men and women who cheated on their mate. And they said they were sorry. And their mate would never take them back. Oh, that really changed things, didn't it? And people have today is, I can go do something, and just because I say, you know, ask God to forgive me, that in the natural, the problems go away because I say I'm sorry. It doesn't. We don't believe in this reaping what we sow. Repenting doesn't mean you don't reap what you sow. People need to understand. I will tell you this, most of the major spirit-filled ministers that are on television, even the big names, don't even know that. I've never heard one of them ever teach it. They all have the idea, if you ask God to forgive you, you don't have to put up with it. You just get it all straightened out. No, it don't. No, it don't. You know, Esau found no place for repentance. Whew, how about that? We don't read that one because that don't fit our little theologies. We don't like to hear that one. Throw that one out. Let's listen to something else. Tell me I'm okay. But see, it's number one. If I could just say I'm sorry and never had to pay a price for anything, What would be the point of not just going ahead and doing stuff wrong? One of the things that I've learned over time is not to do certain things anymore because of the trouble that causes. Hey, hon. Boy, she causes trouble. I'll tell you. She don't let me get away with it. Now, but you do things, and you know what? It costs you, and it causes problems. And saying you're sorry just don't straighten everything out and make everything work. But boy, we have this idea. They say, well, it doesn't work that way. And we need to get a hold of that. And especially, like, I mean, if you take it, they want to talk about climate change. There was an enormous climate change after the flood. The flood and stuff started. There was definitely climate change in the earth. There was a climate they had never experienced before. And sin in the same way is working. And we find here that Jesus said, from Noah's standpoint, the direction we're heading is to the same thing. Is why? They think climate change now? Wait till great tribulation comes and they find the climate change is going to take place then. Wow. The climate falls apart during the tribulation period. Everything. Oceans. Man, the oceans. They don't like whales dying. Till it's all over, there ain't going to be none. Till all is over, most of the things in the ocean are going to be dead. The Bible says so. Huge majority of the population of the earth is going to be dead. Yeah, and everything, the drinking water, they're going to run out of that. It's going to go bad. It's going to turn out terrible. And so they're definitely going to have an ecosystem that ain't running right. And I'm sure the Antichrist can get all the idiots to sit around and chip in money trying to figure things. Hey, if we get enough together, you know, if you guys give up enough, it'll work all over. Just keep it up, you know. Now, one of the things I want to read to you, because we want to know concerning people. When we're looking at things going down the tubes, are they... We have to read here something that the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. This is what Paul wrote about people. You guys have all heard this, but I want you to think about it. We look at it in the context of what we're talking about. See, these are things that lots of times we read and you say, oh, yuck, these people, terrible. But we need to understand we're looking to a future. And Paul's telling us, now I could go through many scriptures that tell us about people and how they're going to get. But Paul really just, in this one here, he covers really... I think today we can see these things pretty clear around us. This is 2 Timothy in the 3rd chapter. The Apostle Paul says in verse 1, he says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Perilous, in other words, when you see the word perilous, does that sound like, well, maybe some trouble? It's perilous times. We're living in perilous days. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin back in 1950 concerning the end times. He spoke to him and he had a vision about some things about America and some different things. But one of the things he said, before the worst comes, the church is going to be taken. Well, we ain't been taken yet, so there's worse yet to come. There's worse things we're going to be living in. This is why you want to live by faith, because if you don't live by faith, you're going to be one of the people that Jesus said. Hearts are going to fail because of fear of the things coming on the earth. That's why you can't be a watcher of the things that's coming on the earth. You can't measure things by that. You got to stay in the Word of God and measure things by the Word of God, what it says about you. You got to stick to your covenant. You got to stand on what God said He will do for you and what you are and your authority. You need to walk and live in that. Because He's at perilous time to come. He goes on to say here, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Does it sound like any of that goes on? Maybe in the future that'll come. What do you mean? It's here in full force, and I just want to tell you, it's going to get worse. Now, that doesn't mean a Christian has to have their kids in rebellion. We don't have to. If we follow the world system, it will. It'll happen to Christians. And I tell you what, I see Christians, they've just got the same junk going on. What they say about it, they're unloving, unforgiving, they're slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, hang around them and just really try to walk in one with them. Notice this, from such, turn away. We have Christians that live these kind of lives. They've been born again, and they fit this category. And we have a lot today that use and term Christians, and they have a form of godliness, and that's all it is a form. It's form. It has nothing to do with real godliness. It's just form. The majority of the church in America is form. They fit this category. But he told us, he said, this is the way things will become. So it's here. We see it. It's here. It was predicted that it would be here. So, look where we're at in it. I remember back in some of the teachings coming back again and starting this, the Kingdom Now junk. I remember back in the 80s and Ken Copeland and them were teaching Kingdom Now and the church is going to take over and it's just going to all be glorious and wonderful and good. I used to read these things. I used to think, but the scripture says this. What about this stuff? Oh, we're going to take over everything, and then when Jesus comes, we're going to hand the kingdom to him. Jesus is coming back because things are going to stink, because if he don't come back, everything will be lost, and the scripture says so. See, they don't read the Bible. People have this fantasy about God's kingdom. There's one fantasy I got. It's a new heaven and a new earth, and the Bible talks about it. It's going to be wonderful. And only godliness is going to be there. It's going to be a great place, guys. And none of the nuts are going to be there. Wow, it's where we're going to be. Hallelujah, for an eternity. Wow. It's going to be glorious. No more insanity. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for that perfection. That's what we're shooting for. And so, that's God's plan for us. That's God's purpose for us. This is the fulfillment. Sin put away forever. God's creation, mankind, living, he's going to live among us. God dwells with men. It's going to be phenomenal. I'll tell you, it's going to be incredible. I mean, you just think about it. I mean, the New Jerusalem, a city, it's 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles wide. What, that's 1,900 some square miles. That's the town. That's the city. That's the city where God lives. Man, I mean, that's big stuff. That's just the city. Man, what's that planet going to be like? We're going to live in that place. How glorious it's going to be. Phenomenal. But anyhow, but we see the way man is getting, the things that are happening. So there's things that we have to understand concerning the end times. One of the things that I want to go over and look, because Jesus talked about the end times, understanding the periods of time that we're living in. Jesus made warnings because we as Christians, we need to understand some things. I did some years ago, I did a teaching on what did Jesus say about the end times. I want to talk about some of those things here because we need to get back into some of these things, because today I hear people coming out and preaching the error again. They're starting back over, repeating what these people repeated in the past. They're taking things that Jesus said that are dealing with Israel. Because we're going to find out if the climax of really the book of Revelation concerning the end of the tribulation period, it's all about Israel. It's not about the Gentiles. The time of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. The main purpose of God's doing what he's doing, because the key in the millennial reign of Christ and the place where all rule is going to come from is from Israel, is Jerusalem. And the kingdom is going to be restored to the Jews. Oh, people who don't like the Jews are going to have a problem with that one. So you might as well get over it if you're going to be a natural human being, which we're not going to be. We're going to be glorified beings. Thank God we ain't going to be thinking idiot thoughts or anything like that. We won't have any of that crazy stuff. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad we get rid of this stupid body? Oh my God, how wonderful that's going to be. We'll be glorified. We won't be thinking dumb, but they will be dumb here, I always think about that. They made that movie Dumb and Dumber. I never watched it. One, I watched some previews of it, and I could only take it. So I just the previews, and I think, to sit and watch this, and I think, I have this all my life watching it. Why would I watch it on television? I can just go out in public, and Dumb and Dumber's living every day out there. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Dumber and Dumber, and all over the place. And so, you know, there was nothing original about that movie. They were just copying the idiots we see all the time. And, but we need to be able to read and understand the times, especially what Jesus said. If we don't filter things properly concerning the Word, you misread and misunderstand. And this is one of the things, the smartest thing, I didn't realize at the time that I did it, that it was smart. When I rejected the teaching that people did on end times. Because the best thing I ever did when I did that, I opened myself up to see what the Bible says without what other people said. See, this is where people get it wrong. Too many times, we can become unteachable, not by because we're mean or we don't want to learn. We may want to learn, but we're hanging on to thoughts that we have, and we can't lay certain print things aside to look to see if the Bible really teaches it. We don't set aside and say, hey, is that what that's really saying? No, we take it and go with our thoughts or our ideas, how we think it is, and we read it and we carry it into it, and we don't really see what it's doing. You know, it was one of the things that I've watched over the years. I've always noticed, because I've always been impressed about people, whether it's a sinner or a saint, can sit down and think outside the box. People who can think outside the box are not hampered by what has already been done or learned. They will step outside there. I was just watching a thing on television about, I don't know if you've ever heard of Skunk Works. It was, these were the guys from aircraft manufacturer who the government took them, and what they did is they had this group of people, and like United States, this is where the SR-71 was developed and where it came out. They brought out B-1 bomber and the stealth fighters and all that stuff come out of, but they had all the things that were developed during their time. Now, one of the things is an absolutely phenomenal thing. The SR-71 was developed when there was no computers. And it was probably a good 50 years ahead of time of what it could do. The Russians and everybody else on the earth never even conceived the United States could produce a thing like it did. They didn't. In fact, most of the military never thought that these guys could develop this thing. And they had a group of guys that sat down together, started figuring out, and they used slide rules and all that kind of stuff. And they developed an aircraft that would fly about 90,000 feet and still, to this day, still holds speed records. Today, with all of our technology, it still holds speed records. It's phenomenal. It could fly at 90,000 feet and take pictures on the ground with a camera. Now, this isn't all this electronic stuff they got today. It could take pictures of things on the ground. They showed photographs from it. An item this big, you could see it perfectly exactly what it was. Phenomenal. And it's up there going across the sky. It flew faster than the rockets that the Russians had to try to shoot it down. Phenomenal. But people, how did they do that? They thought outside the box. They thought they didn't. They knew they had to build engines that were faster than any engines. So they didn't even, they said, look, we're not even looking at what we can do with our engines we have today. We have to build something that's not like theirs. Like what we got. We got to just set that aside. We're not going to try to build an engine and try to make one of these faster. We're not going to. See, that's what most everybody does. They take what they already have and try to turn it into something else. And they said, we can't end up with what we want. We can't do that. Well, and that's because they set aside all the thinking and everybody knew. And they said, we got to think different. We got to come up with something different. They built a titanium jet that could fly through the atmosphere. In fact, it would heat up. The thing would actually get so hot. You know, it would sit for hours and hours on end, wouldn't land, and nobody could touch it, get around it. It would get so hot from flying. When it would sit, the expansion and contraction of it, it was nothing. Really, the aircraft was this. It was two engines, enormous engines, and cameras, and the rest of it was fuel tank and a small place for a guy to sit. And those fuel tanks all leaked when they sat on the ground. And they said when it settled on a runway, it was one of the most dangerous things to be sitting in because all your fuel's leaking. And when that thing would take off, the thing heats up. And when it heats up, it expands and it stops all the leaks. That's the way they had to build it. And they figured that out. Now, understand, these guys didn't have computers. You just think, Einstein came up with his theories, no computers. Einstein came up with all of his theories, and today his theories stand. As Einstein's theory, they keep proving his relativity is right. They keep trying to prove it wrong and then finding out none of the things right. The stuff's right he said about it. It always turns out. He did it without any of that. How did he do it? He didn't think in the box like everybody else. As Christians, Kenneth Hagin said this, the main problem with Christians, they have no original thinking. They just follow after the thinking of everybody else. We don't want to do that. I believe God's trying to tell us many things. Over the years, I found this. God was trying to speak to me about things. Sometimes it took me a year or more to finally catch on the fact of what he was trying to tell me. Because when I would hear what was being said, I would think, that's the wrong thought. That ain't right. That ain't right. That ain't right. Why? Because it didn't fit what I knew. Well, what I knew wasn't right. So you got to come to that. Well, you sit down and you're able to judge yourself. Just sit and look at it. Now, if God teaches something, he'll show you the word to it. It's one thing, as I always say, God's always showing me scriptures for what he's taught me. He's always taking the scriptures. Now, we want to look at something Jesus is saying about the end times. In Matthew 24, we'll look for part of this tonight. We can finish this up later on. But Jesus, it says, and we want to look at it from verse 1, and we're going to use the entire chapter because we want to maintain the context of what's said. I don't want to go through the thing of pulling anything out of context because I believe in teaching this stuff. One of the major problems is that people take things out of context. They pull some scripture out to prove a certain point, but sometimes those things can be wrong. Even though they can be right about what's doing it, people sit down and read other things and it confuses people. So I think it's best to look through the whole thing. Because we want to see what Jesus is going to talk about. In Matthew 24 and verse 1 says, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said to them, do you see all these things? Assuredly, he said, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be torn down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Now, so they ask him, when these things will be, in other words, when's this going to happen to the temple? When's this going to be? You said, oh, not one stone's going to be left upon another. There are some questions asked here. He's also, what will the signs of your coming and the end of the age? So we need to know this. Jesus is going to talk about two different time periods. There's going to be a split in this thing. One part of it, his answers to them of what's going to take place and what they're going to find up to the time of 70 AD when the temple's destroyed. Remember, Jesus, when Jesus left, the earth was somewhere around 36. In 70 AD, the Romans came down and destroyed Jerusalem, killed over 1 million of the Jews, and destroyed the temple, tore it down completely. And all those things took place. But Jesus is going to answer their question. This is where most people make their mistake. They read this part. They don't. What were the answers? What did they ask Jesus? Jesus is going to answer them according to what they ask. So, this is not rocket science. This is only for people who can actually read what words say and then respond accordingly. Now, and it's not hard. He says, and Jesus answered, said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. In other words, coming into this, he said, don't let anybody deceive you. In other words, deception. This one thing is you find out as you learn, and I would just say this, deception is a big thing. That's what Satan always does. Always, always, 100% of the time, Satan brings deception. He comes to deceive. That's what he does. What did he do to Eve in the garden? She said, he deceived me. Deception. Understand this. All deception has some truth. You will never find deception that has no truth because you wouldn't be deceived. Deception always has some truth. So you need to be careful. If the devil come along, if the devil showed up and he had horns and a pitchfork, now would you sit and wonder, is this God or not? No, it would. If the devil showed up and he told you, you need to kill so-and-so, what do you think? You wouldn't. He will come along and he'll deceive you. He always, so we need to understand this is how he operates. So he said to take heed. He said, why? For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Well, over time, they saw this even back in their time. It says, for many will come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, and will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So in other words, we're living in times of wars and rumors of wars. What did Jesus say we were supposed to do? Wring your hands, worry about it. Oh my God, what's happening? What's going on? It's just this terrible time. Oh my words. You know, make sure you listen to CNN tells us that stuff. Let's see, I tell you, we need to watch the Gulf War. Let's get it watching as much as we can. You know, this is people doing it. Jesus told us, he said, you're going to hear of this stuff. This is it. He said, see that you're not troubled, for there's these things are going to come to pass. This stuff's going to happen. Now, he said, what's going to happen? Nation, for a nation's going to rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. Okay? We see this stuff. Actually, we see an increase of these things going on. There's an increase of them. And so that's, well, as man gets more and more sinful, the worse things turn out. But it goes, this is the way it rolls along. He said, all these things, what are the beginning of sorrows? Now, the term sorrows there is, if you look that up in the Greek, that word actually, it talks about, it uses the, they Strong says pangs or dealing with pain. But it says especially of childbirth. In other words, this is used of childbirth. So in contractions, in other words, these events in taking place are part of the contractions to the end of the age. Well, what happens when a woman has a child? You know, she might start off and her contractions are 10, 15 minutes apart. But as she gets closer to birth, the contractions get closer. There's more pain, isn't there? And the contractions get stronger. You know, they don't stay the same as they did when they started out. And I remember Wanda, you know, she first started out, her first times of being in labor, and started it out and started contractions. Well, until they got down to where they got real. But I'll tell you what, it wasn't a matter of just having them more often. They were, more painful for her. Well, it's the same way. This is what we're living in. We're living in a childbirth time. It's similar to what goes on. The problems become closer together. The stuff gets worse and more painful. That's just the way it is. See, it's like we had, when I said about earthquakes taking place. Earthquakes, they started out. They were further apart, but they were taking place, weren't they? Jesus said to them, during this period of time, when you guys come out here and see this, he's talking to them about this is the days that the temple is going to be, you know, going to be destroyed. He said, you're going to see this stuff going on now. Well, now we look in our age, we got a ton more of it. We got a much more, a lot more craziness of stuff going on. It's on a wider scale, especially increase the populations in the world, and things just get, they just get worse and get crazier. So they see these things going on. So he says, what's going to happen? Then they will deliver you up to tribulation, or they'll deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. Every disciple was killed for their faith. Every one of them died for their faith. So he told them what's going to happen. The only one that wasn't was John. John didn't die. John was on the Isle of Patmos, and John died. They tried to kill John. It is said of him that they tried to boil him in oil. They tried to put him in hot oil, and he didn't burn. So... didn't go well for them, I guess. But he didn't. But anyhow, so he said, you're going to be hated of all nations for my sake. He said, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. So that sounds like what Paul was saying about people are going to get worse. Well, as it's going on, hasn't it got worse and worse and worse? So we find these things. He said, then false prophets will arise up and deceive many, and because of the lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But then he says this, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Now, and he makes this statement, because we're going to see, and we need to understand this, this is why he's comparing Scripture with Scripture. If we go over and look what Jesus said here, and we go over to the book of Revelation, the Revelation talks about this, because he said, in this gospel, the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. Then the end will come. If you look and see, people take this today and say, we have to preach the gospel to the whole world before the end can come. That's not true. That is a misuse of this scripture. The end comes because look in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation tells us concerning the end coming. When the end coming, it talks about the angel that holds the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it said will be preached to all the nations, and then the end comes. That's talking about, this is speaking here about the end of the tribulation period. This is not talking about the church age. Understand this. Jesus never one time ever talked about the church age. Why didn't he? Because it didn't exist. The disciples couldn't even understand the age you were living. He would tell them things and they didn't even get it. It wasn't until Paul's revelation came along about the church and the rapture of the church. The church didn't even know about that stuff. They didn't know about it. That's why Peter says, Paul talks about things that are hard to understand. Why are they hard to understand? Because they're different than the revelations, but that the revelation that they had at that time. So, and understand, before Jesus comes and sets his kingdom up the earth, the gospel is going to be preached through the whole earth. And we need to know the tribulation is not the church age, because angels never preach the gospel in the church age. The church preaches the gospel. But we have, during the tribulation, angels are going to preach the gospel. Angels are going to appear and preach to people. So there are things that are different. And this is spoken of, and this is why is you got to compare Scripture with Scripture. You just don't read things, and just because somebody says something, it's one that, if God sends us to somebody in some place in the world to preach, dear Lord, go do it. But we don't try to, people are trying to fulfill here what the Scripture isn't even talking to them about. So, anyhow, there he goes on about this. He said, therefore, now here, this completely verifies the fact of the time period that Jesus is talking about. He said, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. This is the major key to the time period he's spoken about. If you go over and we read Daniel, Daniel talks about the abomination of desolation, which takes place. That's when the Antichrist sits on the seat in the temple and declares himself God. When does that happen? At the beginning of the great tribulation period. So we know here what he's talking about. He's not talking to the church. This is not the church. He's talking about the church is already gone. This is dealing with the great tribulation period that he's talking about here. So see, Jesus is answering their question. They wanted to know about how the end was going to come. Now he's talking about it. He told them what's going to happen in their time, what they're going to see take place. And then he comes along, and now they ask him the questions. He's given the answers to the things that they ask. He said, listen, at that time period, see, when the abomination of desolation takes place, he said, and let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down, take anything of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babes in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. See, Jews following the Sabbath, you can only go so far. Oh, you don't want to break a law. Why is this? Because when he sets himself up on the throne, he's going to begin to kill Jews. Because even the Jews that aren't going to follow, they are not going to accept him. Even the ones who won't follow Christ. He's going to start killing Jews. The whole thing, the devil hates two classes of people. He hates Christians and he hates the Jews, because they're both God has covenants with. And he hates them. And he will always try to destroy them. That's a given fact. It'll always take place. It'll always happen. So, Satan is going to work, you know, and here the Antichrist is going to try to destroy them. And that's why he said, when you see this, you get out of town right away. So we know this from the fact that every place in the earth, when people talk about the Antichrist is going to be running everything, he's not going to have control in certain areas, because we have what is the areas of Edom and Moab, which are not going to fall under his jurisdiction. Because, number one, why would you flee if he rules everything everywhere? Where are you going to flee to? Yeah. See, I'm totally convinced, because people say, oh, he's going to run everything. Well, if he is, Jesus is an idiot and don't know. Jesus don't know this stuff. He's not very bright. Jesus knows. So he's telling them, get out of town. He said, why? For at that time, when this guy sits on the throne, now here we need to understand, there is a period. See, people say there's 7 years of tribulation. That is not true. The great tribulation is a 3.5-year period. 3.5 years. It's not 7. The great tribulation, because here's what he says. Jesus said this, so he's accurate. I'm not going to argue. Jesus said it. He said, for then there will be great tribulation, such has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. Now I want you to think of, for the Jew. The Jew thinks the Holocaust was bad, and it was. But it's going to be nothing. It's going to be nothing compared to what's going to take place. It's nothing. Now listen, this is what Jesus said. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. The remnant of Israel that believes on Jesus is why things are going to come to a stop. If it would not be for that remnant, he said, no flesh would be saved. They'd all be killed. So, Jesus said it, so I believe it's true. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will arise, show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner room, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. What it's talking about is eagles are really birds of prey. They're going to come into that area because there's going to be a whole lot of dead to eat. This is dealing with the Battle of Armageddon. He goes on, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heavens will be shaken. Then the signs of the Son of Man will appear in the heavens, and then the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Now we know when Jesus Christ returns, the saints are going to return him. In fact, we're going to read some things about that. One of the things that talks about him coming back on a white horse, and the fact that his saints will be coming back, his army will come back, and his saints all dressed in white and all that kind of stuff. All the saints and all that belong to him are going to be brought back. We're going to find from a scripture there's going to be a resurrection that takes place after Jesus destroys the wicked. There's going to be a resurrection of the people who died. Were put to death, beheaded by the Antichrist during his reign. They're going to come back and reign and rule with Christ during the millennium. So there's going to be a resurrection take place at that time. There'll be a resurrection happen then for those ones that have died during the great tribulation. And so we're not the first resurrection of the church is a different thing than the resurrection is going to be take place in those. Most of the church never even talks about it, even think about it. But the Bible specifically tells you there's going to be. But it's identifying who the saints are of the time period. The saints of the time period during the tribulation are different concerning the saints who are the church called saints. We're the ones who are born of God. The church age is going to end. The church age is going to end before the tribulation. The church age ends. The church leaves. The church age ends. And we need to get a hold of that fact. The people, thank God, I mean, they're saying they're going to, you know, they follow Christ, but it's going to be different concerning those ones than the ones who are in the church age. It's like you want to be, before the things get to the worst, I want to leave. I don't want to be the ones that have to die during tribulation, and that's nice, get resurrected and do that, but I don't want to be here when the Antichrist comes. We're allowed to escape that, and Paul said we would. Paul said that we were going to escape that. So, I'm getting on the first bus. You know, if anybody wants to wait for another one, go ahead. Now, the first, I'm pushing my way in. Don't get in the door in front of me. I'm leaving. I want to get out of town. So, hallelujah. Well, we're going to stop there, but we read these things in our context. We can find that things are going on. We look down the road, the things that are happening concerning judgments coming. God provides redemption. Redemption has been set in motion. But we see these things. One of the things that's mostly so phenomenal is we're going to read some of these things the prophets said about these time periods and stuff, is the fact that with John said in the book of Revelation, it is phenomenal looking at these things of how we have this idea that if people, you know, would just, you know, if they just see this or see that, it would change. The book of Revelation to me was always just a phenomenal book, is because when I'd sit down and read it, and I would look at all the things that happened there to those people, and the things would take place, and they would know that it was from God, and yet they'd curse him. They wouldn't turn around. They wouldn't repent. It's hard for us to understand. We have the idea that people would just have good sense. I remember when I came into the kingdom, I used to have ministers say this all the time, and it always just struck me wrong. They said, if we really preached the gospel, people really heard the truth, they would just accept. Oh no. There's people that hear the truth all the time. and go off to hell will not take it. And they hear it. You find the things that are said concerning the book of Revelation, the truth that goes out, and man knows it, and he rebels against God. They don't want it. They want what they want. See, it's hard for us to believe, you know. We don't like to think in that manner about people. You think about the book of Revelation, you know, Revelation's not a surprise to God. He knew all that was going to take place to begin with. He knew. God sends people to people that he knows are never going to accept it. Why? Because they'll never stand before him and say they didn't hear it. They're going to say, yes, you did. You heard it. God knows they ain't going to accept it. Well, he'd have to know or he wouldn't be God. But see, he gave man a choice. And man's insane. How did we get bright? I don't know. Dear God. We have the sense. We bought it. We took it. But there's people who don't. And it's amazing when you sit down and I've looked over the years and have read through from Old Testament and New Testament concerning these times. And I sit and look at the things the prophet said and look at the things of the New Testament. I think, how can people go through the things that they have gone through? Look at Israel. You sit down and you read the prophet Jeremiah and you sit and look at what Israel went through and all that he said, and he was accurate 100% all the time. And yet they refused him all the time. They refused him every time. They refused God every time. Yet his prophecies were coming to pass right in front of their faces all the time. He was accurate. People get set in ways and they just, you know, they're not. I'll tell you, one of the greatest deceptions we live in today is religion. Where people think they're all right because they've been told they were all right by their religious beliefs. You're all right. And it's hard to break that with people. You can take them the Bible and show them the Bible. They'll refuse it. They will refuse it. You can take, people call themselves Christians. You can take the Bible to them. You give them scripture after scripture and it means nothing to them. We believe it like this. This is how we believe it. And yet you show it to them. Now, you know, to me, it's like, what it has to be insanity. But it what happens? They have opened themselves up to demonic powers, and they can't see no more. They have yielded to things, and we think, well, you know, we just pray enough. No, you won't. We just pray. It's like, we're just going to take over and make it happen. No, you ain't. People have choices. People find comfort in their evil. People find comfort in their stupidity. They find comfort in it. You know, it's things that don't make sense. You get somebody who mistreats somebody. It's like I used to always think about that. They think about, you know, a battered woman and she stays with a man. They say, well, she's afraid that if she leaves him, then she won't be taken care of. She won't even. In other words, I will take a beating for lunch. It's like, that's insanity. But yet it happens. See, you can get so demented in your mind you can't change. And you can run it so far that you'll never change. It's hard for people to believe, but that's what happens out here. People get so demented in their thinking, whether it's in religion or whatever it is, they get so demented. They can't get past it and can't see the other side of it. They hang on to that. That's their safety. I'm okay in what I'm doing and, you know, my religion tells me this. You know, I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm believing. I'm okay. I'm good. You know, I'm doing this right. I'm not as bad as the next guy. And they don't see themselves. They're worse than the other. They look out at sinners, and there's loads of sinners who are better off than they are. They aren't as bound as they are. But they can't see that. They can't see themselves in it. And that's why you got to walk in truth. This is one thing, is walk in the areas of humility. There is nobody who's humble. There's never been one humble person who is not submitted to the Word of God. You submit to God by submitting to the Word. Humble yourself on the mighty hand of God, He may exalt you. How do you humble yourself? You submit to the Word. People who won't submit to the Word, said, are prideful. They're full of pride. See, I don't want to go this thing and I'm proud. I want to look at the Word, and the Word says this is what we're going to do. The Word's right, I'm wrong. That's it. If the Word says it and I believe something else, I'm wrong. Did you get that? That's what humility is. Humility isn't being the smartest guy in the block and just, oh man, you know, I'm just, you know, you can beat me and I love you anyhow. And people think all those kind of things. Loads of people out here have those kind of ideas, but they are not submitted to the Word of God. They don't believe things, lots of things it says. And so you want to always fall in line. So be humble concerning the word. Sit down humbly. I always thank the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, that I know nothing from the Scripture had He not taught me. He's the teacher. I'm not the teacher. I get used, but I get used. That's what it is. I'm used. Oh, I don't want to be used. Well, get over it. I need to be used. That's because you don't want to let me loose by myself. You want to be used by the Holy Ghost. And there's one thing about it, as I had wonderful teachers, Kenneth Hagin taught us, he said, you stay with the Word. No matter what anybody says or anybody does, you look at what the Word says and you follow the Word. You're always going to be all right. You'll never get deceived if you follow the Word. You'll never be deceived. Never be deceived. You follow the Word, you're okay. We can all do that. All of us here, we have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the teacher, don't we? We have the Word. We don't have to ever be deceived. We don't ever have to be deceived. I don't know about you, that's good news. Because I'll tell you what, most Christians, the Lord spoke to me while I was on vacation. He said, most Christians in America, they're deceived. Most Christians, He said, are yielded to the spirit of the age. He called it the spirit of the age. Really, it's the Antichrist spirit. He said, most Christians in America are yielded to it. They're following after. We're not. We ain't following that. We're not going to follow that. Hallelujah. We're going to follow the Word. Because the Word is life, and the Word takes us. It's our security. It's what holds us. We're not secure because we're smart and we're so big in faith. It's the power of the Word. You believe the Word, the power of the Word will keep you. It's the incorruptible seed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I can't keep myself, but the Word and the living Word will keep me. And He'll keep you just as good. Hallelujah. And we're not going to get deceived. Amen? Father, I just want to thank You. I thank You for the life that You've given us in the Word. Lord God, the wisdom. Lord God, I can know that I can never take credit of the things that I know have come by my genius, because surely we know better than that one, don't we, Lord? Hallelujah. But it's come by revelation of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I just want to thank You for the kindness that You have just taken everyday people and You've given wisdom and understanding and, Lord, knowledge of You to walk with You. Lord God, that we can commune in fellowship with the God of heaven, the Creator of heaven and earth. We can walk as one with You, not by our genius, but by Your goodness. And I want to thank You, Lord God. Lord, You put the great mind, You're a great mind in us, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The one who knows everything to reveal it to us. And we just thank You, Lord God. How wonderful it is, this mighty power and glory that's inside of us to reveal all of Your wonder and great grace to us. And Father, in this day, age, and time, I want to thank You, Lord God, we can walk in a peace that passes all understanding because it guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I thank You for that, Lord God. I thank You, Lord God, that we can look to our future with a smile. Hallelujah. We can look with a great hope, Lord God. Lord, we see, Lord God, it doesn't matter. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at our right hand, but it ain't coming nigh us. Hallelujah. I thank You, Father God. We're living in the strong tower. Hallelujah. The righteous just run in and they're safe. And we're safe, Lord God, secure in where we stand. Lord God, we've laid a foundation upon the rock. Your Word has been our foundation. And Lord God, the storms of life and the things that are coming are not going to move us. But Lord, we're going to be standing. Lord God, when our Savior appears, we're ready, hallelujah, and waiting to be caught up to glory with our Lord and Savior. And we thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.